This is Authors Alcove, where writers learn from writers. Readers get the inside scoop, and everyone learns something. An episode comes out every Wednesday where writers share their latest work, every other Tuesday where us writers get taught by such experts as editors, book cover artists, and marketing execs, and beyond. So grab a cup of coffee, and let's dive into our next book. Welcome to Authors Alcove. I am Agnes Wolf. Today I have Melanie Murphy. She is the author of The Extraordinary Anna Park. She writes magical realism and book club women's fiction. Is that about what you'd say it was?
Yes, absolutely. I'm so excited.
Yeah, definitely.
Melanie, do you mind sharing just a little bit about yourself and what has inspired you to be a writer?
Sure. Currently, I'm sitting in my classroom, hence all of the flags going on behind me. I live in New York, Long Island specifically. I teach high school English. This year, I'm teaching 11th and 12th grade. I also am the mom of two beautiful little boys. And basically, just in terms of what inspires me, I teach English. I have an undergraduate degree in English. I have my master's in literature. So I've just always loved words and books and anything I could get my hands on. From a very young age, I've always been very much inspired by reading and expression and words. I've always written a little bit for myself here and there, but it was only recently that one of my own students actually said, "Hey, Mrs. Murphy, have you ever considered actually writing anything for yourself for real?" And I said, "You know, I always have, but I'm going to actually start today." So that day, I picked up my writer's notebook. This is every year when I teach writing. We start with a writer's notebook, and we start every day, every first 5 minutes of the period with writing. So this was mine for this year. I haven't had a different one when I started writing Anna. And I just started with like a little kernel of an idea. And I didn't know what it was going to be. I didn't know what it was going to turn out to be. I didn't know how long it was going to be. And I kept going, and I fell in love with my main character, and I fell in love with just being able to express myself that way. So that's really kind of where this all started for me.
That's awesome. So what was the inspiration for The Extraordinary Anna Park itself?
So a few things. And I'm always inspired by, you know, motherhood, right, is something that's very inspiring to me. My oldest son is turning 12 next week, and it totally rocked my world and changed my life. So motherhood is definitely one of the themes that I explore in the novel, because it's a theme that's very, very important to my life. So that's kind of like the basis, motherhood and relationships and family relationships, because family is always very important to me. And on top of that, I'm a nature girl. I live in New York. I live in Long Island. I went to school upstate. Upstate New York is one of my favorite vacation spots. I love hiking, and I love being in nature. I love the trees. I love the dirt underneath my feet. So that's kind of where my mind went when I started thinking of creating a mother story about motherhood with those magical elements that nature is already magical to me. So in my book, I enhanced that aspect of it. And that's really what became the focus.
That's awesome. Could you share what the plot line is without sharing any spoilers?
Sure. So Anna Park grew up with an extraordinary gift. And she also had a very strained relationship with a very estranged mother who wasn't very loving, very different from the mother figure that I grew up with, and very different from the mother figure that I try to be. So her gift, this connection that she shares with nature, was always a source of shame. And she stifled this extraordinary gift. And it wasn't until she grew older and she kind of had all those high school, young adult, and young woman experiences, and she really kind of comes face to face with a family legacy that she didn't know existed, because her mother, she was estranged from her mother. And she actually has to learn to embrace this gift that she has stifled for so long in order to come to terms with this family legacy and accept the truth of her birthright. So I guess that's a vague way of kind of talking about what the story is about in a very And then there's also the magical pull of the trees that she experiences, relationships. It's basically like she's on the trail to discover the truth of this mystery, this family mystery.
One of the things I think you did really well in your book is you jumped from past to present to past to present. And, you know, I think that's a very tricky thing to do. How did you do that? And what were some of the challenges that you ran into?
Oh, that's a really interesting question, because I actually, that was one of the narrative perspectives, one of the things I struggled a lot with this novel. It actually wasn't originally that way. I had told it in a very linear style, and I had all of the, like, I just told the story, right? Because again, this was my first real full-length novel, and like I said, I wasn't sure what it was going to be. So I started in a much more linear pattern, and I told her story from birth through middle adulthood. And I worked with a friend who's also my editor, and he suggested why not flip-flopping. He felt that it would be more engaging from the get-go if I flip-flop between past and present and past and present. So that was kind of where I got that idea. And once he suggested that, it was like a light bulb went off. I'm like, oh my gosh, of course that's how I should tell this story. I love reading stories like that that shift a narrative perspective. So I went back and I really kind of pieced it together. So the present kind of informed the past, and that's how the story kind of became more cohesive. And I feel more engaging, especially in the opening chapters. And it was a challenge going back and forth and making sure that I didn't reveal anything in the present that hadn't yet been revealed in the past. So I did have to go back and make quite a bit of edits in order to make sure that the storyline remained intact.
And how did you decide at what points to jump back and forth?
It's also a good question. So I tried to have things in the present spark memories of the past. So there's one part where Anna is looking at something specific and it reminds her of this story in the past. So that's when I shared that story. So I tried to have, like I said, the present inform the past. It didn't always work that way. I also wanted to keep up the intensity of the mystery of the story. So I didn't want to give away too much in the present. I wanted to kind of keep the reader guessing about what was going to come next. So sometimes when there was like a big plot point coming, I would shift back to the past. So that's kind of, you know, to keep up the tempo, to keep it engaging, and to also show more than just tell about Anna and her upbringing.
I noticed that one of the main themes was relationships. And one of the most unusual relationships, I think, is her connection to the trees.
Yeah.
What was your inspiration or your reason behind having her have that connection to trees specifically?
So a few things. So one, I feel that we can all have our own relationship with nature, right? In a much more non-magical way. My experiences in nature growing up and in my adulthood are really important to me. And I try to instill that with my own kids, to have a relationship with nature and go into nature and engage with nature. And my love for nature and for trees and for, you know, the beauty that surrounds us was one of my inspirations for that, right? Because what if it would be even more magical than it already is? So that was kind of where that idea came from. Also, when I first wrote this, or when I first started writing this, I had no idea that there was going to be that fantasy element. And I was actually really hesitant to include that fantasy element, because I never would have thought of myself as a fantasy writer. I was like, I can't write that story. That's not what I do. And recently I got on like a huge Stephen King kick, and I've just been reading everything I get my hands on by him. And I was like, well, why not? Why not have like a little bit of magic in there? And even though I was hesitant, because I, like I said, I never would have thought of myself as a writer of any sort of fantasy at all, even the low aspects of fantasy that are in my story, I just said, you know, why not? Like, let me give it a shot and see where it goes. And I actually really love where it went. And I love like the magical feel of it.
So she also has a very unique relationship with her mom. How was the relationship instrumental, and how did it affect the other, like how she related to the trees, how she related to other people, how she related to men?
Right. So her mom is really the central relationship in her life, even though her mom really plays an actual very small role in the story. She's a larger than life presence in her life. And it's actually really funny, because when my mom read it, she was like, oh my gosh, she's like, I hope that this isn't me. I'm like, oh my God, my mom is so not like that. She's so loved. So she was like, I hope that this isn't how you view our relationship. And a side note, that was just funny. But yeah, so Anna's relationship with her mom is really complex. And I think that family relationships are so complex. And Anna's relationship with her mom impacts her whole life. It impacts her ability to open up to people. It impacts her ability to accept herself, because she herself as a character is visually flawed, has a big birthmark on her face that was also a source of shame. And she's also, according to her mother, to be psychically flawed, right? Because of this gift. And that all comes together in the end, why her mom is so cruel and why her mom is so awful. It does all make sense. We get a little bit more sympathy maybe for Beverly once the ending kind of progresses and we can understand that relationship more. Again, I don't want to say too much because I don't want to ruin the end for you or for anyone, but that concept of breaking the chains and breaking the cycle is something that I really wanted Anna to experience. I wanted her to be able to grow as a character so that a relationship that she has with her mom is defining not only in the way she views herself, but in the fact that like she's not going to repeat that. She's not going to be that type of person. So I think it's important because it allows her to, like I said, break the chain, not be like her mom, but it also very much chains her to her family that she kind of continues to discover the truth about as she progresses throughout the story.
Still looking at character development, what are some ways that you helped make Anna Park more relatable to just your average reader?
So adding a lot of dialogue, which isn't a lot of the dialogue I added afterward, because I kind of just, when I wrote the story almost as overview in a sense. So when I went back and you made her flawed, and I wasn't afraid of that because I think that we can all relate to that. We're all right. We're flawed in some way. There's always things about us that we don't like, things that we're maybe hiding, things that we kind of keep simmering underneath the surface and don't really allow to bubble forth. And I just think that that's really relatable about Anna. Like, she's not this perfect character. And I think that that is what helps to make her relatable. And that was really important to me because I want people to love her and I want her to grow both spiritually, mentally, you know, in terms of all aspects of her life. So it was really important to me that she came off relatable and human and flawed, even though she has some of these some extraordinary aspects about her, right? And this extraordinary gift. I didn't want her to be untouchable. I wanted her to be human.
Yes, I definitely think that people see that. Were there any real life inspirations that inspired any aspect, either of the characters or the setting or anything like that?
Yeah, lots of things. Growing up, I had a dollhouse. It was like the most beautiful dollhouse. It was my prized possession. It didn't look like my house, like Anna's did. But my dad worked really hard and built that for me and laid all of the shingles. And there were like the little porcelain plates. And I just remember losing myself for hours in that dollhouse and the little, you know, the figure, it was just so beautiful. And the little detail, like I was just always so captured by it. And it was just one of my prized possessions growing up. And I wove that dollhouse in as a symbol in the story. Like I said, upstate New York or New York in general is a very inspirational place for me. It's where I live. It's where I vacation. I love it. I love upstate New York. I went to school upstate. So a lot of the towns are places that I have personally been and personally loved and personally enjoyed, and some of like the cold cheese pizza and that stuff, or you know, upstate fair that I loved in college. So those probably are the two major most glaring elements. But even just some of the little things, like I remember being in high school and maybe not as blatantly as Anna, but being in high school and trying to impress my friends and trying to be maybe part of the cool crowd, even though I didn't feel super cool. And it was embarrassing, you know, the sleeping bag when all your friends have the cooler sleeping bag and you're still stuck with the strawberry shortcake sleeping bag and the shame over that. So I think that even though Anna is very different than I was, I see a lot of myself in Anna in terms of like maybe some of her insecurities growing up, because I felt that way about myself. I wasn't always the most confident, secure kid, especially in middle school and those formative, awkward years. I mean, a lot of that I did weave into Anna.
It seemed like you have some metaphors or symbols in your setting, like specifically the trees and then the dollhouse. Are there any that you can share that will not give us any spoilers?
Well, I could talk a little bit more about the dollhouse. Dollhouse, Anna's fantasy world, right? It was this place where she got to take everything that she wished for in a family and enact that out on a miniature scale. And there is one part in the novel, and I don't think this spoils anything, where Anna, she's just at this place in her life and she feels so unsupported by her mom and she feels so insecure in who she is. And she actually takes the little figurine that she always thought of as Anna and crushes it under her heel. And she's sorry she did it immediately. But, you know, the symbolism of when life is just so crushing and taking this actual little tiny figurine. And then the little figurine remains headless. And it's just such a symbol of Anna's struggle for a place in the world, a place in her home. And she takes the little shattered porcelain fragments and brushes them into her hands. And she can't bear to throw them out. And years later, she discovers this. It had been packed up in a box, and she takes it out and she discovers it again. And he lovingly lifts it from the box and dusts it off and remembers that fit of rage that she had as a child. And she takes that little headless doll who is still forming an identity, even as a young adult, and is able to kind of use that to contemplate her place, not only in her upbringing with her family, but in her modern world, in her current world, where in the beginning of the story, she's not super happy with her place in the world and where she is. So that symbol, I really tried to weave in there, and it does come back towards the end. So you'll see that again.
It's a very real story, but you do have that magical element. What were some of the challenges adding magic to the realistic storyline?
So that was the major thing. Like, I wanted it to feel real. I didn't want it to feel like a fantasy story. So I really struggled at times with doing enough, not too much, but not enough. And one of my early readers, who's a big fantasy reader, she actually said, like, where's the fantasy? Where are the trees in the beginning? And I went back and forth, and I don't want it to be so overt. I wanted it to be more subtle. I wanted it to appeal to more, you'd never really read fantasy so much. I wasn't a huge fantasy reader. So the fact that I was writing this, I was like, what am I even doing? What do I even know about this? And I think that balance was my biggest struggle, because I wanted it to feel magical, but I didn't want it to feel unrealistic. I wanted the reader to be able to buy Anna's relationship with the trees, but not be overwhelmed by it. So that was a struggle for me, the balance of putting not too much, but not too little, right? Just that right amount in there to keep it grounded in reality, but to also add that logical element.
I think you did a good balance.
I really worried a lot about that, of it being too much. And when you say it, like, oh, here's a girl who can communicate with the trees, like, it sounds cheesy, if you know what I mean. But like, I really didn't want it to feel that way, if you know what I mean.
And she doubts it too in a book. I don't think I'm right. Spoiling anything. So like, she even herself is like, is this real? Am I just imagining this?
Yeah, like, to accept things, and you don't think about things like the Tooth Fairy and Santa, and you don't question that. So when she's a kid, she doesn't think twice about it. She's like, this is just my life. This is just what I do. And then she finds out that, like, everybody does this. And once the magic of childhood fades, she's left with, like, is this real, or what is this? Is this my imagination? And if it's not, then where does that leave me as, like, a grown human? Right.
As far as the writing process, was there anything that surprised you about the writing process from the idea to the published book?
So much. Every single aspect surprised me. One, I was shocked that I even put fantasy elements in it. Like, if you would have told me 10 years ago that you're going to write a story that has some fantasy elements in it, I would have, like, no way. Like, if I'm going to write something, it's not going to be that. I was inspired very much by some of those, like, old Victorian texts, specifically Jane Eyre. And I thought I was going to write a modern day coming of age story. But then there is that little bit of magic in Jane Eyre. So I kind of look at this as almost like my modern day Jane Eyre, you know. So that was the first thing that surprised me. Second off, I was so surprised that this actually turned into a full length novel. I had no idea what it was going to be. And then when there was so much more of the story to uncover, I was so pleasantly surprised that, like, oh my gosh, like, this is a whole little world that I've unearthed here that I have to see through, and I have to take it through the finish line. I loved the editing process. I feel like my friend Dave Goldman, you know, he's my coworker, he's a friend, he works right next door to me in the classroom right there. And he was so amazing with the suggestions that he gave. And I really feel like I was shocked with what he was able to pull out of me in terms of the story and the writing process. My initial thought was I was going to try to secure an agent. And that whole process is an insane process. So I was surprised by that process. And then even just the formatting and getting it on Amazon and getting it to the point where I was comfortable sharing. I'm not someone that's great with putting myself out there. It's very personal to me, writing. So the fact that now people are actually reading my book is something that's surprising and humbling and weird, quite frankly, at times, because I'm not great with putting myself out there. I'm much more like a behind the scenes kind of girl. So every aspect of it is surprising. I'm surprised to be talking to you right now. I'm surprised that I'm even at that moment to say, like, this is my book and it's out there. Right? The whole process has been surreal and amazing and formative in so many ways.
How long was the process from the idea to the final product and putting it on Amazon?
Long. So it probably took me about a year to do the first draft. Then it was probably like another year and a half of edits going back and forth. Then I queried for a few months until I was like, why am I doing this? And then the formatting of Amazon, I would say 3 years from then to now, 2.5.
Long. That's actually not very long compared to what most people do. So
really?
Yes. All right. So what authors or books have been an inspiration to you? I know you mentioned Jane Eyre. Are there others?
Jane Eyre's huge. That was really like one of the first stories that I just adored. I read it a billion times. I bought my own copy, like a first edition. It's like one of my prized possessions. Oh, so many. I mean, like I said, recently I've been reading a ton of Stephen King and marveling at his craftsmanship and the way he kind of incorporates fantasy and the way he just writes, I just find so beautiful. Those are probably my biggest inspirations, those old Victorian texts and some of the newer texts that I've been reading. Some of these Stephen King books that I never would have thought I would have read. And actually, I didn't read them until one of my students left her copy of It on the side of my room and I needed something to read. So I pulled that up and I was like, all right, why not? Let's see what the hype is all about. And I was hooked from there. I also love a lot of memoirs, like Memoirs of a Geisha. It's a little bit of an older title. Glass Castles, you know, two memoirs, you know, the relationships in Glass Castles by, you know, just were so, so complicated. And I love the magic of the storytelling in Memoirs of a Geisha. I also am a teacher, so I love a lot of those classics. I'm a huge Great Gatsby fan. I know it's a little cliche to say, but, you know, his writing is magic. And just all of those, the magical elements of storytelling that I've observed both in classic texts and even that I still see woven through the modern texts that I read.
Thank you so much for everything that you shared with me. I do want to ask one more question before we go, and it's the question I ask everybody. What is one piece of advice to a not yet published author that you would give now on this side of publishing?
To do it for yourself is what my advice is, because that's what it's for. That's what it's about. Writing is self-exploration. It's discovery. It's learning about who you are and what's important to you and pushing your limits as a human. So my advice is to write for yourself and not to write for the word count and not to write for potential agents and not to write to be published, but do it for yourself. Do it for the love of the craft. Do it for the beauty that spews forth from your fingers as you type or your pen as you write or however, whatever medium you use to get your thoughts out on the paper, and just keep at it, right? And not be deterred or discouraged by the naysayers. That would be my advice.
Awesome. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you being on here.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. I'm going to continue reading because I still have, you know, it says 83%, so I still have 17% left of the book. It is a really good book. And I do have the link in the show notes. But again, thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It was so nice meeting you face to face.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Authors Alcove. We will be back next week on Wednesday, where we will have a writer share yet another piece of work. Also, every other Tuesday, we do learn from experts such as editors, marketing execs, book cover artists, illustrators, and more. If you are interested in being a guest on our show, feel free to go to authorsalcove.com, go to the podcast tab, and then click on Be a Guest. If you're looking for a healed heart, hop on over to our sister podcast, Strength, Love, and Healing with Authors Alcove. You can find that on Spotify and the Apple Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. Have a great day.